NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Breaking news tonight, our special edition of Nightly News from the Storm Zone in Florida as Hurricane Ian slams the state. Hurricane Ian making landfall in southwestern Florida as an extremely dangerous Category 4 storm. The fifth strongest ever to hit the U.S. Winds of 150 miles an hour, catastrophic storm surge and flooding, roofs ripped off. Homes and streets submerged, cars flooded, appliances washed out of homes, a whole fire station underwater. And the stunning view from space, satellite images as the monster storm made its approach. The life-threatening storm surge, up to 18 feet expected along parts of Florida's southwest coast. More than a million customers without power, and that number only expected to grow as we move into the night. The state of emergency, some 2.5 million people under evacuation orders. The governor today telling residents, if you haven't gotten out, it's too late, and urging them to shelter in place to ride out the storm. Tonight, the new track as Ian begins its march across the state where it's headed next. Emergencies declared in Georgia and the Carolinas. Our team in place across the storm zone. Our special coverage begins right now.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, reporting tonight from Bradenton, Florida.
Good evening, everyone, from the southwest coast of Florida, where we are still being buffeted by Hurricane Ian, just hours after the eye of the storm made its much-dreaded landfall south of us this afternoon. Blasting ashore near Cayo Costa, its fierce wind spinning at nearly 150 miles an hour. A major Category 4 storm now tied for the fifth strongest hurricane in U.S. history and continuing to sow damage as we come on the air. A jaw-dropping storm surge still sweeping ashore right now, though officials say it is peaking. It left waters flooded in Naples, inundating homes and cars. New damage pictures from the storm testifying to its strength. Power outages affecting more than a million customers, but it's American landfall just the beginning of Ian's strike on Florida. The now slightly weakened storm now marching towards Florida's east coast, where massive rains could spell the next leg of this long-played disaster.
Hurricane Ian barreling ashore midday as a catastrophic Category 4 storm near Cayo Costa, Florida. 155 mile per hour winds lashing the coast, just 2 miles an hour short of the most devastating Category 5. Tonight, entire neighborhoods are underwater. In Naples, this fire station flooding, firefighters scrambling to secure their trucks and save what they can, while destructive waves washed a refrigerator out of a home, leaving it floating in the street.
Hurricane Ian is and will continue to be a very dangerous and life-threatening storm. And this is going to be for the days ahead.
Ian, a monster storm that strengthened quickly overnight. Over 2.5 million Floridians were given mandatory evacuation orders in the days leading up to landfall. By 7 a.m., Governor Ron DeSantis warning it was now too late to leave.
It's no longer possible to safely evacuate. It's time to hunker down and prepare for this storm. This is a powerful storm that should be treated like you would treat if a tornado was approaching your home.
This eerie video shows the water that usually makes up Tampa Bay sucked out to sea ahead of the storm. A reported tornado ripping the roof off this apartment complex in Delray Beach.
All of a sudden I felt something and then heard like a train coming right through the house.
Another damaging several small planes. By late morning, powerful winds were already hitting the coast in Sarasota.
Heavy wind damage is a given in a storm of this size, but the big variable, always the storm surge. How much water ultimately will be forced inland? Who and what may be cut off by it?
In Naples, stunning scenes as the storm surge pushed these cars down a flooded street, the city seeing its highest water levels ever. The surge in Fort Myers could reach a dangerous 18 feet. 250 miles of Florida coastline could see a storm surge of 12 feet.
So you had anticipated landfall as early as yesterday.
Yes.
The mayor of Sarasota telling me residents should brace for the worst.
It's going to be historic flooding is what we're anticipating. We're almost guaranteeing that the grid is going to go down in some respects. So we're asking people to plan for not having electricity for some time.
Tonight, many downtowns looking more like ghost towns. Some did not heed the evacuation orders.
It's my home. It's the only thing I have.
Still, officials say most got out while they still could. At a shelter in Sarasota, I met Stephanie Loring and Jim Wright.
What is it like to suddenly be confronted with leaving your home and not knowing what you're going to come back to?
Yeah, it's scary. I'm concerned. It's scary, but we buttoned everything up.
They evacuated their mobile home with their service dog, Adam.
Was it a tough call?
No, not on my part, because it's an emergency evacuation. Anyone living in a mobile home should evacuate.
Did you leave some neighbors behind who opted to stay?
Oh, there's a lot, yeah.
Sephora Moise left her home with her parents and younger siblings.
We're worried about falling trees because we have a bunch of trees around our house. Yeah. So we're scared that one's going to fall.
And tonight, predictions that devastating storm will not move away from Florida rapidly.
It's 24 hours of rainfall, 24 hours of winds pushing the water. That's 24 hours that you'll see some impacts associated with this.
Governor DeSantis saying the state has resources in place to start moving in as soon as it's safe, including 30,000 linemen on hand to restore power, 7,000 National Guard troops from Florida and neighboring states standing ready to help clean up, and 1,600 high water vehicles for rescues.
This is not just a 48-hour ordeal. This is going to be something that is going to be there for days and weeks and months, and unfortunately, in some circumstances, even years.
And as we keep saying, the biggest concern as we head into the night is that life-threatening storm surge we mentioned, water pushed inland by the powerful winds. Already we've seen the surge break records along parts of this coast, and Governor DeSantis just saying it appears the surge has now peaked. Carrie Sanders is in Punta Gorda. Carrie, what are you seeing?
Well, Lester, we're on the back end now where the back eye wall is coming through. We've had some of the strongest winds here so far. I'm inside a parking garage area, so we're somewhat protected, but the winds are furious, and as the winds are blowing, there are cases at certain points, there are things flying in the wind, like roofing shingles. It's going to be a very long time to get in a battle, to get an assessment of what's happened here, because it's starting to get dark, and when this storm finally passes through and the rain quits around midnight, then we'll wait for the sunlight to really see how bad it is.
This is what storm surge looks like. The bathtub warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico inundating the streets of Naples, pushing some cars out of their spaces, causing waves of water to rise over the roofs.
So there's the wind speed as I'm standing next to a building, which is somewhat protecting me. So I'll take a knee. Whoops. If I can take a knee here. There we go.
Meanwhile, here in Punta Gorda, where the winds reached more than 100 miles per hour, the streets are flooded and littered with tree limbs and debris. This parking garage has become a refuge for residents. James Brown with his dog Oliver.
We had 2 feet of water.
And if it's a 16 or 17
then
foot.
We'd be very happy to be here.
This is a remarkable display of the force of Mother Nature. This is the Charlotte Harbor Marina here. The wind has actually sucked all the water out. I mean, that's just the bottom of the seabed. And over there, that's heading south towards the hurricane. The counterclockwise motion pulling the water from the Peace River and Charlotte Harbor away.
experts say the warming waters of the Gulf may be attributed to climate change. 40 years ago, the average temperature of the Gulf of Mexico was approximately 3 degrees cooler. That small increase makes a huge difference. That warm water fuels the monster storm in just 24 hours, increasing wind speed by 35 miles per hour, a phenomenon known as rapid intensification. Ian jumped from a Category 3 to a strong 4. Scientists say that will become more common as the Earth's oceans continue to warm. With the second longest coastline in any state, the Florida Peninsula is vulnerable to storm surges like we've seen today, especially on the Gulf Coast, where Ian is slamming the coastline. The shallow seabed here, less than 100 feet deep, makes it easy for a storm with strong winds to push an enormous amount of water into the coast. Rushing water destroys almost everything in its path.
If you think about a wall of water 10 foot high, being pushed by 155 mile an hour winds, that's like repeated impacts by a large vehicle, say an SUV hitting a structure every 5 seconds. Boom, boom, boom.
The backside of the hurricane is now slamming into Punta Gorda. The damage and risk of storm surge, immense. Kerry Sanders, NBC News, Punta Gorda.
Kerry, a veteran of these kind of hurricanes, and just north of Naples in Lee County, reports coming in of people stranded due to storm surge. But officials saying it's still far too dangerous for first responders to attempt any rescues. When asked about possible fatalities, officials there earlier tonight saying they don't yet have an estimate. We're closely tracking Hurricane Ian's path as it barrels further inland here in Florida. The governors of the Carolinas and Georgia already declaring states of emergency. Meteorologist Bill Cairns is monitoring it all for us. Bill, what are you looking at?
We're watching the storm surge begin to recede in many areas, but it's really Naples up to Fort Myers, including Bonita Springs. That's where it appears the 6 to possibly 12 foot storm surge did occur, and it was catastrophic. So now we're moving on from there. We still have this extreme wind warning in effect for the Fort Myers area, Cape Coral, the Punta Gorda. That means we still can have extreme wind damage taking place with this storm as it begins to make its push inland. It'll go from a category 4 to a 3 to a 2, probably down to a category 1 later on tonight. But we still could see winds, even in Orlando, up to 89 miles per hour. I was there for Hurricane Charley. It was similar, and we had people without power for a long time. 72 in Augustine, Daytona Beach, the Space Coast area. These are all people that have a chance of getting down trees and power outages as we go throughout the night. Rainfall, this is also a big concern. The I-4 corridor from Tampa to Orlando, especially from Orlando northwards to Sanford, Daytona Beach, Flagler County up to Jacksonville. Someone has a chance of getting up to 2 feet of rain in the next 24 to 36 hours. And then how about this? Because we're taking it a little closer to the Space Coast and off the coast as a tropical storm, then it heads northwards from there, probably maintaining its intensity. We have hurricane watches from Savannah to Charleston to Lester. It is possible on Friday we could have a second hurricane landfall. If not, it'll be a tropical storm into the Carolinas.
All right, Bill Cairns, thank you. And as Bill mentioned, Hurricane Ian is on a track to head toward the center of the state. Right now, it's a little over 100 miles from Orlando. NBC's Jesse Kirsch is there where conditions are already deteriorating. Jesse.
Lester, the worst of Ian's impact is still hours away from the Orlando area, but you can see we're already being pummeled by the storm's northern bands across the state. Beyond Ian's direct path, we've already seen nearly a dozen potential tornadoes touch down, plus some small airplanes have been tossed around here in the Orlando area. Officials are concerned about the potential for 90 mile per hour winds and possibly more than 2 feet of rain, some of which you can see is already pummeling us right now throughout the evening. Officials are asking people in mobile homes to move to hardened shelters. And as of this afternoon, people have been told to stay off the roads in this part of the state. So people at this point should be where they are going to stay to ride out Ian as it makes its way toward this part of Florida. And again, the worst of Ian is expected potentially in the overnight hours here, which, as you know, could prove to be even more dangerous. Lester.
Jesse Kirsch, thank you. Tampa and St. Petersburg were spared a direct hit after Hurricane Ian shifted its path to the south over the last 24 hours or so, but the storm still bringing heavy rain and high winds to that area. Our Steve Patterson is in St. Petersburg. Steve, what are you feeling? What are you seeing?
Yeah, Lester, we are several miles north of the eye of the storm, and already the rain and the wind is stunning. We've already heard reports of several power lines down, flash flooding, thousands of customers without power, and this isn't even the worst of it. The brunt of this in this area, not expected until the late hours of tonight, maybe 8 or 9 o'clock tonight. And we expect about a 4 to 6 foot surge, which could be devastating for this area with so many low-lying areas around here. And then after that, a deluge of rain, 24 inches expected. So the messaging is from officials here, if you haven't evacuated, now is not the time to do so. It's time to hunker down. And if you thought this area dodged a bullet, now is not the time to come back. Back to you.
All right, Steve Patterson, thank you. And as those intense winds mean blast ashore, hospitals have been bracing themselves for impact. Our Sam Brock is in Sarasota, a city that has seen some powerful gusts today. Sam, hospitals there are facing big challenges. How is it all playing out?
Now, look, Lester, some decisions were made on the fly today to protect vulnerable populations. This, as we're looking at wind gusts, well beyond just triple digits. As you hear aluminum siding flying behind me, heavy rainfall crashing into buildings. So I interviewed the CEO of Sarasota Memorial Hospital earlier today, who told me this is the largest healthcare provider in the area. They have some buildings, Lester, that are 6 months old, some that are 60 years old, and it's not clear they would have been able to withstand this kind of a beating. So on multiple occasions earlier today, they moved those patients before the storm arrived. That include an entire ICU to safer ground. Now, there are staff members there at the hospital who have been prepping, Lester, and preparing for days, if not weeks, to care for those patients. Lester?
Some dedicated folks. All right, Sam, thank you. In 60 seconds, travel chaos. The ripple effect as Hurricane Ian shuts down many of Florida's airports and Ian's deadly path on its way to the U.S. Our team inside Cuba tonight.
The UN Refugee Agency, or UNHCR, responds to emergencies and provides long-term solutions for refugees. They provide aid in over 130 countries, including Ukraine, Syria, Afghanistan, and Sudan, where people are forced to flee from war and persecution at their greatest moment of need. UNHCR helps and protects refugees by providing food, shelter, medical care, and other life-saving essentials. The agency jumpstarts relief in three key ways. They transport core relief items stored in even the most remote areas of the world. They deploy expert emergency staff trained to help in crisis situations. And they transfer funds directly to support the emergency. Because of generous supporters and donors, UNHCR can scale up its response within 72 hours of a large-scale emergency. Your support helps provide life-saving aid for refugees whenever and wherever emergencies occur. Donate to USA for UNHCR by visiting unrefugees.org/donation.
We're back now with our special coverage of Hurricane Ian, the devastating storm also causing travel chaos. Thousands of flights delayed and canceled after many of Florida's airports were shut down. Allison Barber joins us now from Tampa International Airport. Allison, what do we know?
Lester, this tarmac should be full of planes, but as you can see, that is clearly not the case here at Tampa International Airport. The airport suspended operations yesterday evening in anticipation of Hurricane Ian. The state's busiest airport, Orlando International, quickly followed suit. Now many terminals across this state are empty. As teams here work to relocate planes, to tie down jet bridges and wrap kiosks in plastic to try and protect them from flooding. Frustrated passengers lined up at ticket counters trying to readjust their flight and travel plans. We were speaking with officials at this airport, and they say that right now they believe the airport could open as soon as Friday, but when they do, it will likely not only be commercial flights leaving this airport. They say they are in talks with the National Guard so they can use this airport as a hub to run rescue missions further down the coast. Lester?
A rare view from on the airfield. Allison, thank you for that. Still ahead, Hurricane Ian's deadly impact on Cuba and the massive challenges ahead for the island nation where millions are without power. While the disaster unfolds across Florida, we're getting a clearer look at just how hard Hurricane Ian hit Cuba. Guad Venegas is there.
In Cuba,
The scope of Hurricane Ian's wrath is now visible. Towns are unrecognizable, buildings and homes completely flattened. At least two people died and thousands are homeless, like this family, now traveling on foot looking for somewhere to stay. As people try to find shelter, crews are trying to restore electricity after a national blackout late last night. The electric grid, overwhelmed by damage from the storm, left the entire country in the dark.
The electric company says they're making repairs as fast as they can, but just look at the devastation. Multiple poles torn down one after another as far as the eye can see.
We traveled to one of the hardest hit areas, where Senaida and her family live with four children and a newborn.
I want wine.
Now, they have no water, no electricity, and no home. Their house is buried under this wreckage. For now, their neighbors are taking them in.
Buenos dias.
Maximina lives here. She says the little she had was destroyed, and she's worried it could get even worse.
Her biggest fear is that the structure falls apart now. He says this is about to fall. And with this type of devastation all across the most affected province, Pinar del Rio, the effects of Ian here are going to be felt for a long time. Lester?
Yeah, this hurricane's sowing a lot of misery. Guad, thank you. When we come back, Hurricane Ian's wrath, the scope of the disaster yet to be revealed. Finally tonight, to witness Hurricane Ian's power up close has been astonishing. And with an anxious night ahead, it will be daylight before the scope of this disaster here is finally revealed.
It's the one forecast we beg to be wrong. Hurricane projections, even when all lines scream what is coming.
Our computer models are still a little split if everybody in this area needs to prepare for that hurricane.
Yep, Ian wobbled and veered a bit off script, but nailed the ending. A catastrophic landfall in Florida. Maybe even overperforming. The storm didn't choke or hold back. A bet some were willing to take, riding it out, as they say. The storm's true impact, the full damage picture, the storm surge totals, perhaps human casualties, are still behind the curtain to be revealed when the sun comes up. It's common to compare hurricanes around here. People say, I was here for Andrew, for Irma, Charlie. As if past performance guarantees future behavior. We can only hope Ian is one of a kind.
And that's nightly news for this very busy Wednesday. I'll be back with you tomorrow night from here in Florida as we cover the aftermath of Hurricane Ian. Until then, thank you for watching, everyone. Please take care of yourself and each other. Good night.
From Freakonomics Radio, a new series about a role model we didn't know we needed.
So many crazy things really did happen to him.
The physicist Richard Feynman was one of the most brilliant scientists of his generation, but he was also a troublemaker, an obsessive, and a man who spoke truth to power. Along the way, he created a blueprint for how to lead a life of honest inquiry.
He was a brilliant theoretical physicist, but what really made him stand out was his humanity.
The curious, brilliant, vanishing Mr. Feynman on Freakonomics Radio.